that we will dismiss at this time all the parents of our young people, our teenagers, and the youth group. And they're meeting over in room 208 upstairs in the school building. So you may be dismissed over there at this time. And I hope you have a good time there with Brother Jason tonight. And we'll see you after a while. In here, Brother Mike Brett, I'm not going to do the survey of the Bible tonight with about a third of our adults out of here. I'm not going to carry on with that series. And Brother Bragg's been with us now for a little over a year. I don't think he's ever spoken in one of our main services. So I asked Brother Bragg to be ready tonight to bring the lesson. And I'm a little bit gassed. I spoke these far out places, they're hard to get to, and it takes all day to get there. I got there, we got up and left. Brother Caleb and I left in that snowstorm Monday morning. We thought we'd be forever getting to O'Hare. You know, it was snowing, and we thought Monday morning, traffic, business travelers, and snow. We left at 5 o'clock, didn't we? No, we left at 5:45, and we buzzed right to O'Hare. Boom, not a problem, man. It was clear all the way. But we didn't get to Pampa, Texas until 5:15, and spoke there three times, and then got back last night about 10:15. Got up at 2:10 this morning to get to Amarillo, to fly to Houston, to fly to Chicago. So I thought this would be a good night to have one of these young, energetic, fired up guys speak. All right. So Brother Bragg, he's not spoken in the main, so I don't think. Have you, Mike? Come on. You want the lapel mic? This mic's lapel? All right. We'll get you fixed up. Amen. All right, there you go. This is a good brother. I appreciate him doing a good job. And so we look forward to hearing from you tonight, Brother Bragg. God bless you.
Thank you, preacher.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
If you turn your Bibles tonight to Philippians, that's where I'm going to be. Philippians. I'm excited. Thank you, preacher, for allowing me the opportunity to preach. Don't take that lightly at all. When a pastor leaves his pulpit, to allow one of us, as I like to call us peons, to get in here in the pulpit. So it's a joy just to be able to stand up in front of you tonight. I'm getting a little bit more used to it after Pilots. That many people seen at Pilots, it's a little unnerving. But it is a joy to be here tonight. I know I talked to my dad before church. He said, just make sure you do the three S's. And I said, the three S's? What are those? He said, you stand up, you speak up, and you shut up. And then you get down and say. So I said, yes, sir, I'll do my best. Stand up, speak up, and shut up. My wife told me before tonight, she said, they love guest speakers. I said, why is that? She said, because they're always short. And I said, well, 10 minutes short. She said, they're not going to love you. So bear with me tonight. We'll be in Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to read it all, but if I could have you all stand, we'll read just the number Philippians 4 and verse 4. We'll start there and read over to verse 7. So 4 through 7, you read on the odds with me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderations be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The title of my message tonight, if I put a title to it, is Jesus Does It Again. Jesus Does It Again. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord, just in your house. And Lord, as I begin preparing for the message, I just, in my mind, thought about what it a great place Faith Baptist Church is, and the people that are here, and just the privileges to stand up in front of them. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that you just a willing use vessel. Lord, I pray that you just use me, Lord, and your words give me liberty, as well as be with the hearts of the people. Lord, I pray they'd get something from it and use it and apply it in their life, and we'll thank you for it, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you a little background about this. Philippians, Paul, the apostle, gives the words to the Philippians. And this was written to the Philippians from Rome by Epaphroditus, a little background of Philippians. And what where it begins, I want to, more the message to be drawn from the fact that Jesus does it again. How you can see that from the way that Paul does it for the Philippians. And so I've got six different points tonight. But before I start there, you always listen to the news or the radio or maybe read in the paper. You always hear those people that they may report and say, so-and-so, he does it again, or he did it again, or she did it again. You've all heard that phrase before. So-and-so, they did it again. It happened again. Can you believe it? The Illinois politics, they messed up again. They did the same thing over again. And I believe it. Yes, it happens. And so everybody hears that phrase. He did it again. She did it again. The Cubs lost again. I mean, they've done it again. I couldn't go Mrs. Thomason without getting through a message tonight not talking about the Cubs. So they did it again. I want to give you six areas where Jesus did it again. Six areas where Jesus did it again. Praise the Lord, six of them. Here in that we can see, let's look at verse 4 in chapter 4. And I knew this was exactly what God wanted me to preach tonight after those young ladies got up and sang about the joy of the Lord. My first point fits so good with that. The first area in chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The first area I see, he does it again. If you look back, you look at in before Paul gives up in chapter 3, Paul gives up all for Christ. In the Ephesians before that, you see how that at the end there, Paul thankful to God in Ephesians ends. And I want to give the first point talking about the area of joy. He did it again for them in the area of joy. Rejoicing again. 9 people got saved, folks, just yesterday. He keeps doing it again. He did it. He didn't do it for Muhammad. He didn't do it for the TV show we watched last night. He didn't do it for that. He did it for those 9 souls, praise the Lord, Brother Caleb, that came down yesterday. They got saved. And we can have joy. And I see these folks, they had joy. Paul writing to them saying, there can be joy. Rejoice again. Again, always rejoice. Continually rejoice. Keep rejoicing. Rejoice in that solid foundation called Christ that day. In the Lord, that verse says, not Muhammad, not religion, not politics, not the economy. Praise the Lord, not in the bar room. It happens in church. Praise the Lord, it's our joy. But the Lord, we see that it happens in that verse. Hey, joy comes from another sinner that was bound for hell. But he got saved and is on his way to heaven, like those 9 I said, or 10, however many it was. And the 2 that walked the aisle, those men that walked the aisle on Sunday. Joy comes from that, praise the Lord. We can find joy, like the psalmist said in Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. That psalmist said, I've found joy. Joy in the Lord. We know there's a place. I like the solid foundation, know that we can find joy in Jesus. There's joy in that name above all other names called Jesus. He set my foot upon a rock, placed me up on a high place, and praise the Lord, I can thank the Lord for what he did in my life. I got saved, and as preacher said on Sunday, from the top of my head to the sole of my foot, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. It didn't just say part of me. I got saved. And there's joy there. There's joy. The Lord does it again with joy. I see he does it again with joy for those folks. He did it with joy. As Paul writes, he said, they had joy. They got joy. The next thing, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, that I see there, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The second point is the Lord does it again with our burdens. He does it again with our burdens. He takes care of our burdens. He takes care of those burdens we have. You say, Brother Mike, I got a lot of burdens. I got a heavy burden. Let me tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven that he'll take care of it again. He'll do it again. He'll take care of those burdens one more time. He'll do it for us again. He didn't just do it at the beginning. He's done it from the beginning to the end. He's going to take care of our burdens. He does it again. Again, folks, the Lord does it again through the burdens, through our, what's the verse talk about? Our hearts and our minds. He does it through our hearts and our minds. You say, I've got some heavy burdens. The economy, man, it's not looking too good. He can help us again and again and again. The Lord does it again. He does it again every time. Who comes through? Who do you want to put in the clutch? Well, the Lord does it again. Lord, it's not an NCAA basketball game. That's the Lord. He does it again for us. He does it even in our burdens, even in those tough times. You say, man, I've been through a battle this week. I can remember that old song, once again, I faced Satan this morning, but I battled him all the day long. And God helps us in our burdens. The Lord helps us in our burdens. Let me tell you, Christian, I don't know who you may are, what your condition may be, where you may be at, but I can say there is a God. He can do it again. He can do it through something called prayer. Let's get back to that thing called prayer again. Let's get back to supplication, giving thanksgiving to Him again. That's where we're going to be able to stand up and let the Lord say, I did it again. I took care of you again. Let me renew again every morning. Get up and renew, as David the psalmist said. I would get up and renew every morning. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. There's a God that takes care of my burdens. I can remember as my youngest got into the hospital, just a few months, I appreciate y'all praying for her. She's doing so much better. And I can remember she was in the hospital. I've never faced anything like just a one-year-old there at the hospital in the emergency room, and them poking and prodding and trying to stick needles, and the first time they don't get it, and they got to come back and get another needle, and I about passed out. It was a blessing, but I can remember just the thought as I thought, how does somebody out in the world, how do they handle this? How in the world can they sit here and just, it'll be all right with that? I know that my burdens are taken care of by a God in heaven who's taken care of me, and I thank Him so much for that. He took care of my burden. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The third thing I see in the area of verses 8 and 9, we didn't read it just for sake of you all standing. Well, 8 and 9 says, finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of a good report? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I see the third area. Jesus does it again in the area of, He does it in the area of our focus. He does it for our focus. Where is your focus tonight? Where is our focus? We're in a spring program. Where's your focus at? Is it on souls? Or is it about that last 10 minutes, man, I can't wait for this street to be done? Where's your focus at tonight? Is it about, you won't be quiet. You won't stop. I can't wait to get home. Where's your focus tonight? Where's your focus? I see there in verse 9 talks about those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen me do. He says do. Focus on them. Do those things. Do what I've told you to do. I sent you to do something. Do it. Somebody gives you a task. He didn't say start something halfway in the middle and stop. He said focus. Maintain. Finish. Finish what you started. Finish what you started. At Christmas time, the Christmas before, I wanted to build something for my daughter. And actually, I didn't know at the time it was going to be the last time I did anything with my grandfather. And he died in February of 2007. And I got to build a toy box with my grandfather. And it was something, I look back on it and I just enjoyed it. But I can remember in the process of building that thing and putting it together. And I can remember my grandfather, as he's getting up in years, his focus wasn't all there. And where he, as far as hammering and all that kind of, I was worried to death he was going to have to take him to the hospital and put a nail in his finger or something. But I can remember him just saying, you got to make sure you're focused. Make sure your line's right when you're cutting. And make sure you're focused. If you don't get it focused, the whole thing's going to be wrong. The whole thing's going to be messed up. It won't be worth anything. Make sure you're focused. Make sure you're in it. Make sure you're there. Make sure you're not distorted. Are there Christians tonight out there that are distorted? Are you distorted in your, I'll read my Bible when I feel like it. I'll read my Bible when it's convenient to me. Or I'll pray when it's convenient for me. Where's our focus at tonight? Where are we focused? Are we really? Have you thought about this thing? Are we focused about seeing souls saved? We had 20-something ladies. I don't know. I didn't count how many men last night. There's a lot more out there, I know. Where's our focus? It could be out passing out tracts. Where's our focus? Where's your focus at tonight? Let's focus. I know they use that cliche phrase, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. The first time, seems like I'm never going to get through it. I'm not going to make it through. Just do it. Try it for the first time. I guarantee your focus is going to be different. I guarantee your focus is going to be different. You see that first person get saved? Man, your focus is totally different. You've changed everything. Your focus is totally changed. And the peace of God shall be with you. That says God's going to be with you. So I don't know if I can make it on my own. I think of Brother Mick's message yesterday. There's somebody there can help in chapel. He said there's somebody there that can help you. There's teenagers, there's young people. There's people that are there that can help you. There's a God in heaven that can be there with you. As Paul leaves, he said, I'm not going to leave you there by yourself. There's a God that's going to be with you. There's somebody that's going to help you. There's a focus we can turn to. Again, I go back. It's not on Washington, D.C. It's not on the economy. It's not on the next great basketball player, the next great so-and-so. It's on Jesus. Where is our focus tonight? Where are we focused at? I think he tells them, focus and I'll take care of it again. He says, I'll focus and I'll take care of it again. I'll take care of it for you. If you're focused, you're maintaining. I think I'll help you out. There's a God that can help us out. I use this illustration, and as I use this illustration, I say, don't try this at home. My daughter, she'll turn 3 here in May. Not a great thing as a parent to do, probably better for a boy than it was a girl. I'd take her over my shoulder, and I'd grab her and by the ankles, and I'd throw her over the top of my shoulder, and she'd hold on as she's pointing toward the ground. She'd hold on with her arms dangling down toward the ground. And I thinking that I was big stuff, dumb, stupid. I'd let go and try to come around and catch her and grab her. Yeah, until the day that I missed. And she landed right on her noggin and started crying. And I can remember that focus. I say it's her fault. She grabbed the back of my shirt as she was coming down. Again, shouldn't have been up there in the first place, but don't try that at home either. But my focus, her focus was, Daddy, you'll catch me, you'll catch me, you'll catch me. Do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. Should be our same thought. Lord, do it again. Focus on Him again. You get one thing out of the way. You get one hurdle. You get one burden out of the way. And we go back in the same rut we were in before. And our focus wasn't there in the first place because we made it through. The world is that way. Boy, they want a good, clean result. They want the results of a Christian young person, but they want it just for a time, for a season, just for a little period of time. Our focus has to be maintained all the way through. A runner, as he begins to run a race, doesn't focus just for the first 10 laps of the race. He focuses the whole mile. He goes the whole way. He's got to set his focus. And where's our focus tonight? Isn't that like a Christian, though? We want God to do it again, but our focus is completely off. Our focus is off. Hey, Christian, God can do it again. God can handle it again. Maybe your focus is distorted in music, in television, Maybe it's distorted in, I don't know, a book you read. Brother Johnson touched on it a little bit. Maybe some ladies are reading those romance novels. I don't know. Where's your focus at? What are you spending time doing? Where's your time spent? Where's our focus at tonight? Let's get back in focus so the Lord can work again. Get back in focus. I was first time I ever got up into a tree stand. And I got up in the tree stand. My dad put me on the tree stand. And I was 12 years old. Got up in that tree stand. It was a bucket. He was making us rough it with the bucket while he got a nice cushy seat. And but I had a bucket. I was sitting on top of a bucket. And I got in Missouri. They are right with God. And we can use a rifle in Missouri. So we got out there and I had a rifle ready to go. And sure enough, here comes a buck crossing my path. I raise my gun up. As I raise my gun up, again, 12 years old. Those who know anything about guns, you pull them up. And I couldn't see. I couldn't see through that sight. And the scope was on it. Man, I thought I was perfect and everything. And guess what I kept doing? Moving forward, kept pulling forward, pushing forward further and forward. Sure enough, what happens when I shot the gun? Scope eye is what they call that. Scope eye caught me right, and I had a big old black eye. Now, the moral of the story is I got the deer, but I still got something to show for it. I got a black eye. And I can remember, man, I was distorted. Man, I was all out of focus. I didn't know what, up from down. I thought it was the fall of the tree. And I can remember being so happy after I saw the thing drop. But, man, my focus was distorted the whole time. I couldn't get a clear shot of what I thought. Eventually, I just took it off and used the peep sight. I couldn't see anything. And sometimes we as Christians think the same thing. I'll just pull it up one more time. No problem. God's been there before. That gun won't jam. God will be there for me again. He'll be there for me this time. He has in the past. We forget to get our focus back on God. Our focus gets distorted. Let's go over to verse 10 and move on to the next point. Chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Say there, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." He said there at the beginning, "I rejoice with the Lord greatly." But then he says, he rebukes him and he says, "You lacked opportunity." Not that I speak in respect of one. He said, not that I'm wanting more out of you, but for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I think the fourth area where he does it again is in the area of our contentment. He did it for him in the area of contentment. The writer says, sure, you've lacked in some areas, but I want you to know at the beginning of that verse, in verse 10, you rejoiced in the Lord again today. And I can be content, so can you. If I can be content, so can you. If the Lord can be content and He can be happy with you, then so can I. So can you. You can have the same joy that I had, the same contentment that I had. The same thing. You've been around those people. Man, they're just happy all the time. Brother Caleb drives me nuts in that. He's just happy. I think it's a mutual thing. Everybody. I mean, I'm not the only Brother Caleb. But you know what? Often I wonder. Often I think about, man, the guy's always happy. He's always charged up, always fired up, always happy. Does he ever have a bad day? I think part of the reason is he's content in knowing that God did it one more time for him. God took care of it for us. Just one more. God allowed 9 souls who were on their way to hell. He let it happen just one more time. Just one more day. Give us one more day. Often I get up in my prayer time, I say, God, give us one more day. Just one more time we can see somebody or we can give them a track. Give them a gospel invitation. There's folks that never heard about Jesus. My aunt and uncle live in Costa Rica, and been missionaries for 20 plus years. My uncle would say, he says, amazing. Mike, he said, I got to work with the coffee bean workers in Costa Rica. Coffee's a big product in Costa Rica. And he said, it was fascinating me. He said, I just thought a coffee farmer was, he did all the work. He said, I really thought it was just him by himself. Nobody else helped him. He says, they have to hire people to come in and do an individual portion of picking the coffee. They get people in there. They have titles for people to come in that prune the coffee plants, the coffee bean plants. They have titles for them. And you know what? He said, at the end of the day, he said, all the leaves, they have people come by and they pick up all the clippings. They make sure that it's spotless. It has to be perfect. And the owner comes by and he'll look. And he said, I stood there and watched. He said, as the coffee bean owner, he didn't do any of the work, didn't do anything involving any of it, but he watched and he could see from a distance over the multitudes of coffee bean plants. And he said, he could tell and point out, that row's not right. That one's not right. And he said he just wasn't content till everything was done. He wasn't content. I think that's the same for the Lord. He's not content till everything's finished, till it's all done. He's not content till the last soul's been saved. And he's not coming back till he's content. I think he comes, the writer comes to the realization that in verse 9, there, that we just need to be content. We need to be content. 9 and 10, we need to be content. We need to be content in him. The fifth thing, let's move over to verse 19. The fifth thing I see in this area of, he does it again. The fifth thing, verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I see the fifth thing is with our needs. He will do it again with our needs. He takes care of our needs. God takes care of our needs. I go back to that verse, and I read that verse as my daughter sat in the hospital, and I just read that verse over and over and over and over again. I know where I can get my needs met. It's from here. I know where the world doesn't go. They don't get an opportunity to open this book. They've refused to. I get to open the book, be able to say, but my God shall supply all your need. He'll supply everything. Joseph with his brothers that hated him and wanted to kill him, he got his needs met, the second in command. God supplied his needs, even though his brothers wanted to kill him. To David, when Goliath wanted to kill him and slay him. To King, he moved on. His needs, as he got from the beginning, didn't seem like there was anywhere to go. God supplied his needs. God supplied everything. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they went in that fiery furnace, God supplied their needs. He met with them. Daniel was cast in the lion's den. I see that God allowed Daniel to see the great vision. God supplied every need. God takes care of our needs. You say, Brother Mike, I've got a lot of needs. I've got a lot of things that I need help on. Can I say tonight, God will supply all our needs. He'll do it just one more time. He'll do it again. He'll supply our needs one more time. One more time, He'll take care of it. He'll supply them again. God has and will answer our needs. It's a promise, folks. It's a promise from His book. God will supply our needs. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen. I don't have to get up next morning and say, man, I hope I can make sure I get a paycheck. You know, I understand that there's a God in heaven and He'll supply my needs no matter what. I have faith that I know that God's going to supply my needs. He's going to take care of us one day at a time. God's going to take care of our needs. You say, I've got a lost loved one. I've got somebody I've been praying about. I don't know what your need may be, but I know there's a God in heaven that knows. He knows every one of our needs. Come on, some of you old hippies, drunks, some of those people, you understand that there's a God in heaven that supplied your needs. He took care of you. Think of when you were talking about Brother Hudson. God supplied his needs. He took care of them, took care of his family. Put a hedge of protection about them. God supplies our needs. Let's move over to verse 13. Look at one of the last points here. One of the points I have. The last area that God allows or always does it again is in our verse 13. Let's read. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Verse 13, the last area is that God always does it again in the area of our strength. He can strengthen us. God can strengthen us. He is our strength. I sat in that hospital room and for hours, in hours it felt like, and it was, in hours. I know that I could get strength from somebody. No other, as I referred to before, no other high has anyone ever gotten than where it can come from in strength in Jesus in this book. There's no other, the world can't offer that. The world can't come up with anything better. They try. They may set a great billboard in front of you and, oh, try this, try that. But there's strength that comes from Jesus. And these people see the strength that came from Jesus. It came from Him. Praise God, He saved us from hell. A hellbound sinner as I was, He saved me. And I know I can find strength in Him. He set my foot on a solid rock and established my goings. There's strength in Jesus. There's strength in that name called Jesus. I'm here tonight to say, why are you letting Satan do it again in your life? Why are you allowing him to take your strength? Why are you allowing him to take your joy? Why are you allowing Satan again in your life to come and rob you of a blessing? He's just multiplying those burdens. He just keeps mountain on top of another mountain, on top of another mountain, on top of another mountain. I can't get out. I can't get out. I hear it from some of the young people in the school sometimes. Man, I just thought I was going to get, I was going to get in trouble. You know, they get I was going to get in trouble. I was getting in trouble. And 9 times out of 10, I say, if you just would have told the truth the very first time, it'd have been a lot better. It wouldn't be as bad as it is now. I always often end off as I talk to them, I say, let's draw strength from someone. Let's pray, have a word of prayer. We can draw strength from somebody to get us through this. There's strength in that name. In the area that I mentioned tonight, what are you struggling in? Maybe it's your joy. Maybe it's burdens. Maybe you've got a lot of burdens tonight. You say, I've got a lot of burdens. I know that there's somebody in heaven. He can do it again. He can take care of us one more time. What about in your focus? What about in your contentment? What about in your needs? I've got a lot of needs, Brother Mike. I don't know. God can supply all our needs. What about in the area of our strength? Let's look in closing there. The last thing I want to bring out, the last verse of chapter 4, verse 23 there. It says there, the grace. I like that word, the grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God's going to be with us. God's going to be there. He's going to help us through. I know that Jesus is going to be there. That's a promise. He's going to be there for us. As He left and went on and wrote to these folks, I think He was leaving with the fact that He knows that God will take care of them one more time. He'll help us one more time. That the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I'll finish with this illustration. I was in high school and I can remember getting the news that a lot of y'all know the Sharps, or getting the news that Mrs. Sharp had cancer. And I can remember the heartache and the sad. And I can remember the days where talking to the Sharp kids, and I can remember just the heartache the burdens they bared. And I can remember them coming to school in high school, and just as she began to start chemotherapy and certain things progressed. And I can remember asking my dad as a high school kid, and yes, I was one of those why children. I wanted to know why something was wrong, why that happened, why that was the way it was. And I remember asking my dad, I said, why in the world did God allow Mrs. Sharp to have cancer? Why did she allow that? Why did He allow that to happen? Why would He allow such a godly Christian, a godly lady like Mrs. Sharp to have cancer? Why would He do that? Why would He do that? And my dad said, son, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all I don't understand it all. I don't understand all the reason behind that. And he began to tell me and explain to me. And we looked at verses and he said, son, I'm not really sure. But I can remember the day when she was declared 100% free of cancer. And I then went back to my dad again, the why son. I can remember going back to him again and saying, Dad, why did he cure Mrs. Sharp? Why was it her? What about, there was a couple other ladies and folks in the church. Why didn't God do that for them? My dad, they'd been in Missouri long enough, he said, son, again, I'm not sure. I don't know. But I know he did it again. He did it again. He done did it again. God did it again. He did it again for us. That's Missouri talk. That's from the south there, Missouri. He done did it again. I want to say and leave you with tonight, there was 9 that got saved just yesterday. There was 2 on Sunday. I want to leave you with that God has done and can do it again. He can do it again in each and every one of those people you've been working on, those people that you've been trying to reach. God can do it again for them. He can do it again in those 6 areas. In joy, in our burdens, in our focus, our contentment, our needs, and our strength. God can do it again. Praise the Lord. Let's, heads bowed and eyes closed. This time, have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done for this church. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the message. Lord, I pray that it was clear and plain. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we get back to this thing of allowing the joy to be back in our life. We'd allow Jesus to be there with our joy. Lord, I pray that we'd allow Jesus to be there when it comes to our burdens, when it comes to our focus, when it comes to our contentment, when it comes to, Lord, our joy. Lord, I pray that you be with the invitation. Lord, I pray that you be with the decisions that are made, and we'll thank you for it. Here I pray. Amen.